Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Good show today. Excellent hump day edition of the program. It is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Yeah, right, Rome. You say that every single day. Yeah, but every single day I feel like we have a really good show. Today especially, though, good content, good interviews, and plenty of chances for you to get through and take part. 1-800-636-8686. That telephone number is wide open, toll free. Go ahead and use it. I've got an interview coming up next segment. That interview is with LA Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Good timing, because that will be my top story momentarily. Dave Roberts coming up next segment, but if you want to get through, you should try right now. You've got the phone number. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, as always. Also, send me an email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Dave Roberts coming up next. Top of hour number two, I've got a senior baseball writer for The Athletic, Andy McCullough. Coming up in hour number three, a free agent NFL linebacker, jungle icon, Wesley Woodyard. So I've got MLB, NFL, NBA, lots to get to. It's Wednesday, so I've got an ATP. Also, because it's Wednesday, I've got a Jim Rome podcast episode, number 138, with former MLBer Dave Stewart. It's good. It's really, really good. I know this because I taped it yesterday. Stu shows up like an absolute boss. Not only shows up like a boss, but does it only 24 hours after losing his mother. So it is such a good conversation. Can't wait to push that out. So that's how this thing sets up. 1-800-636-8686. Let's start with some baseball. So Rob Manfred's nightmare. Rob Manfred's dream season continued yesterday. And the dream added a brand new component. I'm not talking about the fact that the Miami Marlins had their season paused. I'll get to that in a second. Because there is a new element to his dream. It took place in Houston last night between the Dodgers and the Astros. Now, anytime the Astros are mentioned right about now, you know the commissioner starts to flashback and trip and spin. Because that was the old disaster. Even that commissioner has to acknowledge that that was a disaster. You know, the disaster before the last two disasters. That was when a World Series winning team got busted for cheating. And the fallout was, the fallout was weird, right? Then the question started right about that time. Is this guy a good commissioner or not? Is this the right guy for that gig or not? Hell, never mind the right guy for the gig. Does this guy even know what the hell he's doing? With everything going on then, with the restart this year and the rest of the world at large, maybe you had forgotten about the Houston Astros. The LA Dodgers sure as hell have not forgotten about the Astros, nor should they. So, LA gets out to a 5-2 lead last night. Then in the bottom of the sixth, things start to get really nice. Alex Bregman was at the plate for the Astros. My guy Joe Kelly was on the mound for the Dodgers. Kelly was having a hard time finding the plate. He falls behind 3-0, and then this happened.
Long set, 3-0. And that's over Bregman's head and goes to the backstop. A 96-mile-an-hour fastball that was closer to the letters on the back of Bregman's jersey than it was to home plate.
I'll tell you, I see some baseball, and that looked intentional to me.
Me too.
A lot of times you can just tell by where a pitcher's eyes are going.
Well, it was 3-0. Figured, well, put them on anyway. All righty.
We'll keep an eye on that. That'll get some attention.
Astros radio on the call. So Bregman, and as you know, I'm a big Bregman guy too. He seemed stunned. And although this guy generally is fearless, he seemed a little bit scared. But then again, I would be too. Somebody just threw a rock 96 miles per hour and it buzzed the tower. I mean, that's some scary-ish. Now, I know what you're thinking. Joe Kelly was looking to send a message to the Astros for ripping a World Series from the Dodgers when they cheated to beat them. Except for one thing. Joe Kelly was with the Red Sox when that happened. Joe Kelly was still with the Red Sox a year later when they got busted for cheating. But the question remains, was that something? Was that a message from Kelly to Bregman? Did it just get away, or did he actually put that pitch exactly where he wanted it, right near Bregman's dome? Hell if I know. Hell if I know. But let me ask you this. Did you see the previous three pitches? They were all over the place. Also, historically, my guy Kelly, he's had control issues at times. This is not a secret. That's not news. Look at his career stats. But then again, don't take it from me. Don't take it from me. Take it from Joe Kelly's house. Remember this from the shutdown.
Did you just break the window?
Yeah.
All right. Wondering how quarantine's going? Joe is working on a changeup. Yeah.
All right, so you didn't see that, but you heard that. Or maybe you remember seeing that. What that was a major league pitcher in the shutdown, pitching in his house or in his yard, missing a net completely and shattering a window in his own home. And you're going to come up in here and tell me that this guy does not have control issues, that this guy isn't wild. I mean, come on. Was he trying to send his house a message? Why? Did the window somehow show him up? Like, nice swing, house, you bitch. Grab some pine. Stop cheating, house. Yeah, I doubt that. But then again, back to last night. Watching Kelly after the pitch to Bregman, he didn't look like and wasn't acting like he was looking to start something. He wasn't all amped up and coming out of his shoes and inviting Bregman out to the mound. I mean, to the contrary, he appeared to yawn and signal to his fielders that that's one out. So then Kelly gets Michael Brantley to ground into a fielder's choice. And then after the play was over, listen to what you hear. You hear this.
Just get on the mound, little
Ooh, okay.
All right, so if I'm hearing that correctly, and Alvin will run that back in a minute. If I'm hearing that correctly, that sounds like somebody from the Astros side yelling, quote, just get on the mound, little bleeper.
Just get on the mound, little
Ooh.
No, that doesn't sound like that is. That's an Astro or somebody on that side saying, just get on the mound, little bleeper.
Just get on the mound, little
Ooh.
All right, so that's one of the good things about playing games without fans. You can hear everybody and everything. I don't know who said that. I don't know if Kelly heard it, but the inning was about to go up another notch. Things were about to get even nicer. So Kelly walks the next batter on four straight. Then Carlos Correa comes to the plate. With two on and two out in a three-run game, Kelly starts him off with a breaking ball. It goes right at Correa's head. It sends him into the dirt. Correa gets up, takes off his helmet, and he stares at Kelly. Again, was that intentional? I've got no idea. He had walked the previous batter on four pitches. He once missed a net completely and broke a window. Control is an issue for this guy. It was last night. It is most nights. I know it was that night that he dotted that window. But ask yourself this. Why would you throw a breaking ball at somebody's head with two runners on base in a three-run game in a shortened season when every game counts? Every inning, every batter, every pitch counts. Everything matters, especially since that pitch got away from the catcher and both runners advanced. I mean, I'll ask you this. Do you think it's more important for Joe Kelly to send a message than it is to win an actual game in a shortened season? Do you think his teammates and his manager are going to think, dude, nice job sending that message. That's the main thing here. Not winning the game. We don't give a damn about that. We're all about the code. We're all about policing the game. I mean, come on. Get out of here with that. So Kelly falls behind 2-0. Then he comes back with a swinging strike and a couple of foul balls, setting up this 2-2 pitch.
Another 2-2. Swing and a miss. Got him on the curveball downstairs. And Kelly gets his man. Astros dugout has something to say to Kelly as he walks back to the Dodger dugout. Kelly turning his head to return fire as Correa also has something to say to Joe Kelly, and now both dugouts empty as the umpires are trying to keep everyone socially distant.
Yeah, Kelly was staring back at Correa as he walked off the field, and Reddick in the on-deck circle got loud. Now Correa kind of front and center right now.
Both bullpens jogging in as, for the most part, the Dodgers players are on one side, the Astros players are on the other side, and
it's good
the umpires
night for a fight,
are in
right?
the middle trying to prevent any shenanigans.
It's good night for a fight. So what happened there? couple of awesome things. First off, you see Kelly walking off the mound, making faces at Correa. First, it was a crazy face and partially sticking out his tongue. Then he went with a pouting face, which is it's utterly hilarious to me. Grown men making faces at one another will never not be funny to me. A guy striking out another guy and then sticking out his tongue or doing a pouty face is like the funniest thing ever. It's awesome. Except according to Astros manager Dusty Baker, what really set things off was not the faces. It's what Kelly said to Correa before he started walking away.
You know, what really enraged everybody is when, you know, he told Carlos, I mean, he struck him out. And he told him, nice swing, bitch. And see, what are you supposed to do then?
I don't know, laugh. It's funny. I mean, if that's really what went down, if that's really what Kelly said, if that's how that went down, that makes it so much funnier. The guy is wild all inning. He strikes out the last batter and tells him, nice swing, bitch.
Nice swing, bitch.
And chases that by making faces at him. And even better, if you read Kelly's lips as he gets closer to the dugout, he appears to be saying, quote, hey, that bleep is easy. Bleeping easy. Then Carlos appears to say back, quote, throw your fastball, bitch. And Kelly appears to tell him to shut the bleep up. Man, this is good. Quick memo to Carlos. My dude, you're an unbelievable player. But why should he throw you a fastball when he can get you to chase his hook and make you look that bad doing it? And as expected, the bench is emptied. There was some jawing and nothing else happened. So, in the aftermath, what do we have here? What are we left with? Just a notoriously wild dude during a pandemic trying to shake off some rust and get it right mechanically? Or did Joe Kelly just officially start the Houston Astros revenge tour? Tough to say. I don't know exactly what is in my guy's head or heart as it relates to this situation, but Kelly insists he was not looking to start any revenge tour and he was not looking for any payback at all.
No, I mean, we beat him when I was with the Red Sox, we beat him in 18. It's one of those things that I pitch competitively, and you know, with the no fans here, it's easy to hear some stuff. You know, so I like picking off a couple times. It's fun. But yeah, something apparently they didn't take too kind to.
And again, I tend to buy that. And I tend to buy that because I watched that game. Did you? It's not like this guy was painting the black all game long and then suddenly is going at guys' heads. He was all over the place. He didn't have much in the way of location or command. And I'm guessing that if he wanted to hit Correa, it would not be with a breaking ball at his head that could get away from the catcher, which it did, and advance the runners, which it did. But here is the thing. COVID is a major, major story. It is the story. It's impacting everything. But the one thing that it's not impacting is the fact that there are still plenty of people around Major League Baseball that hate the Astros and are still pissed at the Astros and are still looking to extract their pound of flesh and looking to do it by dotting them. And the Astros are going to be on red alert. And while they're going to be red-assed all season long, there's always going to be that gray area because you don't really know if a pitcher is looking for payback or simply lost control of a pitch, especially in the case of Joe Kelly, who is always wild. And in this case, if the Astros are looking for Kelly to be punished, I would not hold my breath. I mean, sure, the powers that be are not going to be happy that the bench is cleared in an Astros game during a pandemic. They don't want pitchers throwing at Astros hitters, but how do we know that that's what they were doing? Furthermore, nobody actually got hit. So, what are you punishing Kelly for if you're saying he should be punished? For saying, nice swing, bitch?
Nice swing, bitch.
If anything, you should be rewarding him for saying, nice swing, bitch, nice not swing, punishing bitch. Him. In other words, Commissioner, good luck. Good luck, Robbie. Have fun with that. I'm sure you'll handle that perfectly like you've handled everything else in the past 12 months. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up right now. Toll free. 1-800-636-8686. That was a pretty fat open. I've got lots more to get to. Lots more to talk about. But I need this break. When we come back, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts will give us his thoughts. Man, we're out quickly. Off to a good start. If you want to get up in here, do it now. Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Hey, Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen, with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow. Your card might be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? Meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and it helps you if you need to fix them. Eno, another way the Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not Capital One. What's in your wallet? Limitations apply. Capital One.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. I am still in our SoCal Bay studios, where I've been the entire pandemic, and pumped to be here, and right on time, and I could not be more happy to say we are joined by the manager of the LA Dodgers. He is in his fifth season with the Dodgers. He was the 2016 NL Manager of the Year. He led the Dodgers to a pair of NL pennants and four divisional titles in four seasons as manager, a World Series champion as a player. Los Angeles, 3-2 on the year. They're at Houston tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific. We are joined by Dave Roberts. David, it's so good to have you back. There's a lot to talk about, but before we get into the season, Dave, how are you doing? How is your family, and how is everybody around you during this most unusual time, Dave?
Thank you, Romy. First of all, it's great to be back with you and catch up and chat a little bit. My family is doing great. I mean, just like everybody, you know, adjusting to the shortened school, the quarantining, indecision and uncertainty of the fall classes. My wife's holding down the fort, like you know. But everything is going well, and it's good to be back to baseball.
Yeah, it's so great to have you back and to talk some baseball. One quick thought before we get into that. Like, you and I spoke, Dave, back in March, and we talked about life without baseball at that time. When you look back on the spring and the early summer, for instance, what was the entire experience like for you? How did you spend that time, and did you learn anything along the way?
You know what, Romy? I think that you know me, and I try to find positive takes on certain situations or in every situation. And I think for me, I got a little bit of a do-over with my son who was off to college and came back. And I couldn't imagine, you know, going and spending a fall in the dorms and a spring and then coming to live back at home. That would have been hard for me. And my son took it in stride and just got to listen to him and not try to teach him and look for that teachable moment like coaches always kind of do with their sons and then my daughter, and just kind of reconnected. And it was a good thing for our family.
Dave, I know exactly what you're talking about because we sent our oldest son away to college also for his first year, and he came back. He left the dorms and he came back and had to move back home. I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, so baseball is back. Last night was the first game against the Astros since the investigation and punishment for their sign-stealing was announced. You've said in the past that the results of the investigation opened up an old wound for your players. So how would you describe the mood among the players before last night's game? Was it just another game, or did that one feel a bit different?
It felt different. It felt different. And you know, I try to preach and you know, talk about every game is of the same importance, and you've got to have that same psyche and mindset. And I really do believe that. But understanding who the opponent was, you know, what transpired in November, December, what kind of came out, and then following that, all the banter back and forth in the media from players, and then ultimately the penalty that was handed down, rightfully so. And then you come back to essentially the scene of the crime. And, you know, so when we got to the ballpark, it was different. It wasn't the jovial, the music blaring. It was kind of a quiet, calm focus, and we took that into the game. And obviously, you get to the game, and then the incident with Joe Kelly, and things kind of escalate a little bit more.
Dodgers manager Dave Roberts is joining us back in the jungle. So in terms of Joe Kelly, I mean, he's had some control issues. He had a pitch get away from him against Bregman. Then there was the other one to Carlos Correa. Words were exchanged after he struck out Correa. The bench is emptied. So, Dave, as you were watching that whole thing play out, what were you thinking?
I was thinking, I hope it doesn't get out of control. And that's my job. that's my job. My job is to help us win baseball games and to make sure things don't get out of control, and especially under these circumstances with social distancing. And I certainly got to do better. I think Dusty's got to do his part as well and control both our clubs. But there was chirping on the other side, and one of those balls that got away, the one to Correa, was a breaking ball. So I don't think it was intentional, but Romy, you know, that's baseball too.
In fact, I'm going to move on, but let me just finally ask you that, since you brought that up like that. Houston did take offense, Dave, to the pitches, as you know. But from your standpoint, was there ill intent behind them? Was he or the team looking to send a message to the Astros last night?
I'm going to say no. And I think that Joe echoed that sentiment last night in his post game. So, you know, we've all seen the video of him warming up and breaking his own window in his house. So, I don't know. I'm going to stick to my story, Romy.
Dave Roberts is joining us. I have seen that video. My man couldn't hit a net. He couldn't hit a net, and he broke his own window. I don't know. I mentioned Dave before he came on. Maybe he was looking to send the house a message. Maybe the window showed him up.
That's fair.
All right, so Walker Buehler goes 3 2/3 last night, Dave, and then the bullpen takes over. You brought in six different pitchers who combined to give up just one hit and no runs against a powerful Astros lineup. How impressed were you with that bullpen last night, and what's it tell you about that group going forward?
So I was very impressed, really impressed. And I think that the bullpen in every bullpen seems like they kind of are under the most scrutiny on every club. But I really think that it's a position of strength for the Dodgers, and we need that, going into the postseason and getting a ring this year. Walker, I shorted him up a little bit last night because it was his first time on the mound. You know, there was some stress in that last inning, and I want to make sure, you know, for us to win a championship, we need Walker healthy and built up the right way. So it was good to see the bullpen come up and pick us all up.
Dave Roberts joining us. Alex Wood went on the injured list yesterday. Clayton Kershaw threw 32 pitches in an extended bullpen session yesterday. Like around the league, we've seen a number of starting pitchers go down already. So how are you going about managing your starting pitchers in a season like this?
It's crazy. And I think that, you know, we start with 30 guys on the roster, and we have a satellite group of guys that are built up that actually only one of those guys has major league service that potentially could slot in for somebody if somebody gets affected by the virus or somebody gets hurt, because you can't always have that bullpen day because it has that collateral effect going forward. I expect Clayton the pen yesterday was really good. He's going to throw another one on Thursday, and I expect him this weekend in Arizona. But again, it's just you're just preparing for stuff that we're just not used to, and just adding that depth, I think, is definitely beneficial for us, Romy.
Right, like every single day. Like you have no idea what to prepare for, you know, or what to expect every single day. Like, for instance, when you deal with the COVID outbreak, Dave, that the Marlins had in their clubhouse, and now they're going to have their season paused for the rest of the week, you have Nationals manager Dave Martinez, who has dealt with a heart condition, saying that he was scared when he saw that. Are you scared personally? Are you worried?
Well, I'm a cancer survivor. I wouldn't say I'm worried yet, but obviously the alarm bells go off when an outbreak with the Marlins certainly happens. And honestly, I think that, you know, things are going to happen where you can't control it. But it's just for me, when people become irresponsible and don't think of the ramification of what it can affect their teammates in the league, that's where I sort of have a problem with it. And so, again, I'm not trying to, you know, right now I don't know enough information, but I just really encourage guys to be responsible. And I know our guys are doing it as such.
I was going to say that, Dave. What about your guys? Like, as an example, professional athletes typically feel like they're bulletproof. Nothing can touch them. Nothing can harm them. Do you get a sense that your guys are locked in that regard and that they're really aware of the threat that the virus does pose?
100%. 100%. And I think that, you know, kind of going back to, you know, what you talked about, you know, early in the open, it's like this year there's been so much that has transpired. And I think that no one is immune to, whether it be the pandemic, you know, obviously the social injustice has been a topic of conversation. So there's been a lot of hard conversation of people affected in a lot of different ways in 2020, you know. So I think that with this, our guys are certainly taking heed to all the protocols and understanding that, shoot, one team can mess it up for everybody. So we all got to do our part.
Right. One guy, which leads a couple of guys in a whole clubhouse. Dave, before you go, one more topic. Back in March, when you and I spoke about the character of Mookie Betts and what he meant to the team and the club in the short time that you had him, then last week the team announces that major extension with him before he even played a single regular season game. Like, what does that say about Betts, and what's it say about you and the organization and what you see in him?
Well, I take it as a huge compliment that Mookie could commit to the Dodgers after such a brief honeymoon period, as far as spending, you know, the first spring training, then the summer camp, and then really commit to the Dodgers. We're not having a situation with fans and knowing the city. I think that's fantastic. I think it's fantastic for the city of Los Angeles. I think it's great for baseball to have Mookie in a Dodger uniform. It just, like I said before, it just really looks right. And also, Roman, lastly, I'll say is that, you know, when you commit to a player, you have to bet on the guy. And the skill set is going to be what it is, and at some point it starts to diminish. But the guy to make people around him better, be a destination spot where people want to play with him, to continually, you know, vie for a championship, and Mookie and encompasses all of that, and I couldn't be more happy for him.
I think that's great. One last thought. I mean, you had a great line a few weeks back when you said of Betts, quote, the Dodger uniform was meant for him. Can you lay that out? What do you mean by that? And then what does the Dodger uniform mean to you, Dave?
You know what, Romy? I see him with these high pants on, and honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is Jackie. And I had the pleasure on Rachel Robinson's birthday to wish her well, talk to her. And I just think that him breaking the color barrier, the Dodgers need a man of color in a Dodger uniform, and somebody that is strong in mind, that's tough, but is classy, intelligent, plays the game the right way, you know. And Mookie, again, this is what he's about, and he knows the history of Jackie. So for him to wear that uniform and understand what it means to be a Dodger, it's just only fitting.
That is extremely high praise. He is the manager of the Dodgers. He's in his fifth year. He was a World Series champ as a player. The Dodgers are back at it against Houston tonight. Skip, Dave, you know I appreciate you very much. Great to have you back on the show. Thank you so much, and really good to hear your voice.
Roma, you're the best, man. We'll talk soon.
You got it, Dave. Thank you. You too. Much respect. Much appreciation. Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers. All right, so you had my thoughts at the very top about what happened last night. You just got his thoughts. What's your reaction to it? 1-800-636-8686. More thoughts on the Marlins, the fact that Major League Baseball is pausing them, the way the commissioner and the league is handling that. A senior baseball writer for The Athletic, Andy McCullough, top of hour number two. And a lot more to get to. Other things I want to talk about. How about that AFC East? Patriots are losing a lot of guys. Important guys. Are they still the team to beat, or is it now officially Buffalo? I'll give you my thoughts on that. Arguably the most anticipated fight in UFC history, arguably, is now official, or officially it has a date. I want to break that down. And a lot more. Cubs fan, going Cubs fan. I'll get to that. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. I've got Jim Rome podcast going out today, F-138, with Dave Stewart. Great, great conversation. Wesley Woodyard is coming up. I'm telling you, man, we got a lot of show today. Lots of content on this Wednesday. And here's some more for you right now in the form of a sports update. Here is
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
ATP Day, of course, Wednesday. What do you think of when you think of Wednesday? You think Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. And remember, O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, let's check out the early reaction. Jamie in Green Bay, quote, "I wasn't aiming at the Astros hitters. I just sort of let it go." Signed, Sergio Kelly.
I didn't spit. I just let it go down. But anyway, it's not a big deal.
It's kind of a big deal, Sergio. It's kind of revolting. It's kind of disgusting. Again, with Joe Kelly, if it's almost anybody else, then you might say, hey, listen, come on, man. Be real. Joe Kelly definitely has control problems. And not just that night. Like on a lot of nights, on most nights, the man missed a net in his backyard. He's a major leaguer that couldn't even throw to a net without breaking his own window. Have you ever done that before? It's a pain in the ass. I mean, haven't we all broke a window? Literally, haven't everybody listening broken a window throwing a ball at some point? Or had your kid break a window at some point? It's a pain in the ass, man. It pisses you off. I guarantee his wife was not happy about that. Did she sound like she was happy about that? So what I'm saying is, I don't know. I mean, it definitely could have been a control issue. And again, if you're going to hit a guy with a purpose pitch, is it going to be with runners on and a curveball? It's a short season. Every game not only matters, every game is almost like a playoff game in a 60-game season. So no, I doubt that sending a message on behalf of his teammates, who weren't even his teammates, when the Astros cheated to beat them was more important than winning that game, I would suggest. Romy, nice swing, bitch. Regards, Cal in Vegas pushing a kid off a swing set.
Nice swing, bitch.
Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, on a sliding scale, Geoff, for you, that's like an 8. For anybody else, it's a 3, but for you, that's pretty good. Stephen Crowtown. I also said, nice swing, bitch, one time. Didn't turn out well either. Signed, Eldrick.
Nice swing, bitch.
Hey, Steve, on a sliding scale for you, that's a 0. And for everybody else, it's a 0.
0.
Ed, UCLA Dodger Frank tweets, woke up this morning to see the Hollywood sign had been changed to read Joe Kellywood.
Thanks, Joe.
Dear Jim, great interview with Dave Roberts. As a lifelong Red Sox fan, I have to say Dave Roberts will always be an icon to us. It is amazing how one stolen base in 04 can make somebody a legend. Aside from that, I can listen to him all day. Lee in Hartford. Dave Roberts is pure class. Pure class and a damn good manager that does not get the credit he deserves. And that was the stolen base of a lifetime. One of my favorite baseball in the history of the game. Thank you, Alvy. One of the most iconic moments in the history of the sport was a single stolen base, given what it transcended. Great manager, class act. 1-800-636-8686. Man, some kind of wacky show. Lots of interesting things happen on this show. I do want to talk about the Bills and the Patriots in that division. And now what? But when I talk about weird things happening on this program, as I think back over the years, and listener involvement, the personal lives of the clones, how there's always a show within the show, that the Jungle family is the ultimate family, you know, just things. Hey, Adam, let me talk to you for a minute. So yesterday, I had a take on Charles Oakley. And Charles Oakley, Tracy McGrady told this amazing story about Charles Oakley on Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson's podcast. And then out of nowhere, former Olympian Bob Samuelson, great guy, great jungle guy, calls up and says, "I'm listening, Rome. I'm on my way to play golf. And I've got a Charles Oakley story, too." So we went off the air. Did anything become of that? Because I saw that somehow right in the middle of the whole thing is none other than Jeff in SoCal.
Yeah, so Jeff had tweeted you that he was also at Rancho Park Golf Course, which is a great historic golf course here in Los Angeles. Really hard to get on because it's one of the most publicly played golf courses. So kind of weird that they were both there at the same time on the middle of a weekday. And because they were there right around the same time and Jeff was listening to the show, he actually went and ran down Bob Samuelson, took a picture with him, and then sent it to us.
So, do you have a sense of how that went? Was Sammy up for that? Was he cool with that?
Not only was he cool with it, apparently Jeff invited him to play in some pre or post Smackoff golf tournament next year. As you know, some people went out and played after the Smackoff this year. Silk and Jay Stu and Rich Flores were there. So now Jeff has got Bob playing golf with the clones next summer after the Smackoff.
Wait, did Bob already consent to that? Did he say yes?
He did. Yes, he did.
You got an Olympian. An Olympian rolling with clones.
Yeah. And Bob,
do you have a sense of how good either or both of their sticks are?
I don't know anything about Jeff's game. I don't like the way Jeff dresses for the golf course, but Bob shot an 83 yesterday.
Are you trying to get me to follow up to get
nope.
me to talk about your clothing line?
Nope, not at all. I didn't like Jeff's look yesterday.
Why?
The shirt wasn't tucked in and the hat was backwards. That's a disgrace. Yeah, there are people that wake up at 3 in the morning to go cut the grass and mow the greens, and you treat the golf course like that, Jeff. Tuck that shirt in and put that hat forward. But Bob shot an 83 at Rancho, which is quite difficult. So good for him.
Hey, Boomer, that is amazing. Did you just say tuck that shirt in and put that hat forward?
And get some pants on, too. Get some long pants on. Golf is a privilege. I mean, it is an expensive game that not everyone can play, and there are people that work really hard to maintain that amount of real estate out there, and you go and dress like you're at a house party for it. I show some respect.
Because it's a gentleman's game, and you have gear to sell.
It has nothing to do with that. I have not mentioned the name of the company, nor will I. It's simply about showing respect to a game that shows respect to its players. It is a highly manicured golf course, and you're out there looking anything but.
You know, Adam, I got to give you some credit, because normally when I come to you, you're not prepared. You give me some bullcrap answer, or you tell me what I want to hear, and you go all Eddie Haskell with it. This is like the most impassioned I've heard you about anything in quite some time.
Yeah, I really don't like the way people dress out on the golf course, and this has nothing to do with what I do on the side. This just has to do with the fact that you really should show some more respect for the game that you're playing.
All right, let's be clear about one thing. Is this about the way a guy dressed, or is this a Jeff and SoCal thing? For instance, and I love the guy, but how did Bob Samuelson look on the course?
Samuelson looked good. He looked good. His hat was on forward. I'll give
him
that.
Why are you stumbling and stammering all over yourself when you say it?
I want to see those shirts tucked in, all right? I want to see some long pants out there. But Bob's hat was on forward, and I have nothing but respect for Bob. He represented our country in the Olympics. How can I go after an Olympian, especially one that's so nice to the show and so nice to me? And in fact, I look forward to one day playing golf with Bob. That would be great.
All right, so is it just a golf course thing? Can you flip your lid around backwards generally, or do you have to always wear it? And I'll tell you why I asked this question. I'm flashing back. When you went on that little diatribe of yours about, come on, man, tuck your shirt in, wear your hat the right way, wear it forward, I literally flash back to a moment that I had in the 818. I'm going to say mid to late 90s. And there was a guy, I don't know if you've heard of this guy or not, Hawk, knowing the way you know sports or don't. This guy's name is Pete Rose. He's the all-time hit king. Have you heard of him?
Ichiro's the all-time hit king, but I have heard of Pete Rose, absolutely.
Fair enough. All right. So Pete Rose, I was very good with. And in fact, you know, I haven't talked to Pete in a number of years, but I'm still good with Pete. Pete and I had a good relationship. I've got a few Pete stories. Pete once gave me a pair of cowboy boots that he had worn a number of times, but wanted me to have them. And I know he was coming from a really good place. That's a different story. But one day I'm on Ventura Boulevard, and I want to say I might have even been at Jerry's Deli, Guy Starkman. And I might have been there. I can't remember exactly where I was, but I was there for breakfast, and Pete's having breakfast. And it was one of those Saturday mornings where you kind of run out of the house. Maybe you don't shower, and you throw a lid on, right, because you got bedhead. I'm wearing it backwards. Pete had no problem with coming up to me and saying, yo, Romy, man, how about some respect? Wear that thing forward. And I thought to myself, damn, Pete. I mean, you're my guy and all, but are we going to talk about respecting the game? But, I mean, he had no problem. And it wasn't like a reason to go, and he wasn't totally disgusted. But he made sure, come on, man, show some respect. Wear that hat the right way. Is that what you're talking about?
I think there's a time and a place for everything. So if that's the way Pete wanted to have you look, then that's his disposition. Sure. My favorite human being on the earth was famous for wearing his hat backwards.
Ken Griffey Jr., right?
Yes, absolutely. So there's a time and a place for all of this. I just think that the golf course and maybe going to meet Pete Rose and his cowboy boots requires a forward hat. But, you know, I don't make the rules. I just follow them. And a golf course is a sanctuary, and you should show some respect for that place.
Yeah, but that's not typically a rule, though, right?
It should be, and that's,
it might be an unspoken rule, and you might want it to be a rule, but is it written down anywhere?
No, and that's part of my frustration with the game is you've got a bunch of idiots out there that look like crap playing golf, and they wear horrible clothes, and they look like crap, and they're playing a great game, and it's disrespectful.
I can't believe the way you spun me into an infomercial for your company. This is absolutely insane the way you did that. You know what, Hawk? You might be the smartest guy in the room. All right, so now that you've laid out everything that's wrong with it, why don't we give them an idea of what's right with it? In the ideal Adam Hawk world, what should they look like, and how do they find out, or where do they go to get that look? Go ahead, Adam. Say it.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I promise you I wasn't angling for it. This was merely a jungle take about Bob and
Whatever.
Jeff.
Whatever. Take the pitch, dude, and run with it.
I think you should wear a collared shirt tucked in with any kind of belt that isn't white and put some foot joys on. Get rid
Shut
of those
up, Adam.
Nikes.
What's the website, and what's the name of the company?
NationGolfCo.com. NationGolfCo.com. We want to make the golfer look better. And that's it. Just it's a game that deserves that kind of respect, and that's what we're doing.
Two final thoughts. So you sent me a polo shirt. I rocked it. I did wear it. I didn't leave my house, but I did wear it. It's not bad.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate
that. And one more thing. Your partner, haven't met him yet, but man, my man looks like a young Andy Reid. He looks like Andy Reid Jr. How is homeboy? Is he getting after it?
I think he'll take that. Yeah, Ryan Engel, Andy Reid Jr. He is getting after it. Great guy. Surf legend down in San Clemente. And we really appreciate the fact that you rocked the polo, and we were happy to gift that to you. Sure. And anytime you want another polo, we've got eight of them. We're happy to bestow those
crazy.
Upon you.
Let's not get crazy. You know what, though, dude? It looked good. It felt good.
I liked it.
All right, so you give my best to Reid Jr. And way to go, Adam. One of your better efforts. I haven't said that very often, and I'm not sure if I'll ever say that again. Hawk was taking that very seriously. Go ahead and react to it. When we come back, Andy McCullough, senior baseball writer for The Athletic, is next.